the Axis Astrology Podcast. My name is Alison Price. I'm here with my good friend Arwen O'Neill, and we're coming to you from Vancouver, Canada. This podcast, we're going to be talking about the astrology from October 19th to November the 1st, 2014. We're going to be discussing some of the movements of the planets and the aspects that are going to be in this period. We're going to be talking about what the moon's doing, and astrology 360 topic this time is the ascendant.
Yes, the ascendant or rising sign, as it's sometimes called.
Yes.
They are the same thing. So, yeah, we're starting out with October 22nd. That's the first thing that we've got happening in this two-week period. And we have the sun moving into Scorpio.
Yes.
The feminine sign, it's a water sign, it's a fixed sign, and it's the season of witches and politicians.
I get the witches, I don't get the politicians.
Oh, well, we've got elections going on in our neck of the woods in November a lot of the time. This November we've got an election in Canada, and next year, of course, is the big election in the U.S. 2016, we don't have to talk about that for quite a while. 2016 is 2 years away, actually. So
the witches is to do with Halloween?
Yes, exactly. Or, you know, politicians could be.
Yes.
Or their wives, even.
Such as in the Blair Witch trilogy, yes.
Right. I only saw the first one.
So, when it's Halloween, the sun is always in Scorpio.
Yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Therefore, Halloween is always during the Scorpio period.
Yeah. So I was surprised to find that Halloween's not a thing in the UK. It's not a big deal there. Although I do have a friend that lives there that's, now that her kids know about it, because of course everyone's connected now. They hear about it and they've actually gotten into it.
You'd never even hear it mentioned.
Yep. Halloween. Such a fun holiday.
Well, to be honest, when we first came here, we were absolutely bowled over by what was going on at Halloween.
Yeah. Kids traipsing around and begging for candy.
What for? Unseemly. I mean, it seemed to, having just been fresh from Africa, it seemed a total waste of resources. Food going, but anyway,
yeah,
you kind of get over it.
Well, candy doesn't go bad, so yes.
Okay.
I guess it could.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we can talk about Scorpio a bit later. Not so much in this podcast, but let's see. October 23rd, the very next day, we've got Venus moving into Scorpio. So that is
interesting.
Yeah, definitely. So the connection between desires for deep relationship conversations, maybe, or deepening the relationship. If you've been undecided with Venus in Libra, you may
exactly.
You know.
So Venus doesn't sit well in Scorpio, but it's there with the Sun. So maybe they're too. They're both virtually entering Scorpio at the same time.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. The very next day they'll be conjunct. Yes. That's the 24th.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, so the head and heart are aligned to pursue their passions.
Oh, and where do you get this from? It's fantastic.
Well, you know, Scorpio.
So Sun conjunct Venus. I mean, that happens quite a few times, let's face it. But in Scorpio, at the beginning of Scorpio, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So then on the 25th, coincidentally, our producer's birthday.
Really? Oh, happy birthday!
Yes! So that's the 25th of October, and we'll have Mercury going direct, which is great. Everyone will breathe a sigh of relief.
Yes.
And that'll be going direct at 16 degrees Libra. It has been retrograde then since October 4th, when it went retrograde at 2 degrees Scorpio. So it went all the way back to 16 Libra, and now it'll be going direct again.
Okay.
On the 25th. So that's great. Also on the 25th, we have Mars moving into Capricorn.
Gosh, it's all go, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And that's an interesting thing, too, because, let's see. Yeah, that's just interesting. All right, so Mars in Capricorn. It's a cool and calculating Mars. It's definitely...
Mars is exalted in Capricorn,
yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like
good
a
place,
it's very business-like sort of aspect. Yeah, good for strategizing and the ladder to success. So the 27th, then, we've got Venus trine Neptune. That sort of dreamy, idealistic, sort of romantic aspect.
Okay.
And it's a water trine.
Okay.
So that's good. Nice.
That's pleasant enough, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. And then the very next day. Oh, no, actually same day. Sun trine, Neptune. So.
Yes, because the Sun and Venus are still so close together. They're kind of making those connections.
Exactly.
Yep. Spiritual, artistic, and...
Creative. Yeah.
Very nice. So really quite... a lot of Sun, a lot of Venus going on, and just a bit of Mars.
Yep.
So nothing terribly untoward going on in this time.
Yeah.
For a change, hey?
Yeah, really. We've had a bit of...
And a couple of trines, and that's about it.
Yeah. Indeed.
And Mercury going direct. So that's quite a good collection we've got.
Yeah, all that Venus and Neptune and stuff should be good for, you know, creative Halloween costumes, I would think.
Right. If anyone's doing that. So begs the question, you know, then, what will you be wearing for Halloween? Because you asked me last year and I have the clue.
I will probably do nothing for Halloween because I don't know. I have no plans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sad but true. Sad but true.
Yes. Yeah. So anyhow.
Yeah.
All right.
So what is the moon doing?
Yes, well, as I always say, the moon is always moving.
You do.
Well, it is. So what have we got this time? On the October 23rd, we have a solar eclipse. It's a new moon, a solar eclipse at 0 degrees Scorpio. As we saw, the sun has just gone into Scorpio. Venus is right there as well. Mm-hmm. And we're getting an eclipse, a solar eclipse. So the moon is going to be going in front of the sun. It's not visible everywhere. It's only visible in certain areas.
Mm.
And so that will be a new moon solar eclipse at 0 Scorpio.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the last eclipse this year, and it's the last in our second eclipse season. And because it's also a new moon, it makes a double whammy on that new moon wishing that we talk about all the time.
Right.
Where the new moon is in the house in your chart, for instance, Arwen.
Oh, for me, that would be the 12th house. Just
that would be the 12th house. So the idea would be that you would be able to put together, before the actual new moon occurred, a list of affirmations in line with the 12th house, such as...
I don't know.
I don't know.
What is a 12th house wish?
Spend more time alone.
Oh, gosh.
Could that be even possible?
I don't know if that's possible.
Retreating and doing that sort of thing, or even...
stay out of prison. That's my new moon wish every month.
Stay out of prison. Well, I'll drink to that.
Exactly, yes. And what house would that be for you?
That will be my 4th house.
Okay. Staying at home. We'll both be staying at home.
We'll definitely be over at home. It tends to, when you get a new moon in your 4th house, it tends to make you like spring clean and move things for the vacuum or stop fighting with the vacuum, which I find the most annoying
piece
of furniture.
So. Yes, it's right up there. Absolutely.
Anyway, so it's probably going to be that sort of thing, getting things sorted out for... the end of the year, and I'm afraid it's housekeeping when it's in the nothing very exciting. So maybe I'll move this vase from that place and put that candle there, but that's about as far as I think.
You're talking to a Virgo. I'm like totally excited about that. Moving furniture? Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, we're actually so crammed. There's not an inch to go. Things must go, I think. So perhaps with it being in Scorpio, I would probably want to do some chucking out of garbage or garbage, what's the word? Baggage.
Yeah.
Get rid of the hoarding. New, all those things in those bottom drawers and shoes I haven't worn since I came to Vancouver. I've got to go. There's no room.
Yeah.
So it's a purging
through
Scorpio. Listen to me. Purging all the stuff that's in my 4th house.
Yeah. Great.
And who knows how much that could be once you start. You never know. Do you have you got to dig? Okay. So that would probably be on my list of new wishing for the October 23.
Good. And how about the...
And then, of course, on October the 30th, we've got a boring old first quarter. So not as exciting as a solar eclipse or a new moon in Scorpio. No. So that's what the moon is doing in the period that we're looking at now.
Excellent. Well, our 360 topic for the day is the ascendant or rising sign. And I'm going to just choose one. We won't have a Uranus thing here. We're going to just... I'm going to say ascendant.
As opposed to
rising sign. I don't know. Right. I don't know. Which do you say?
I thought you were going to go, I'm going to say ascendant, not ascendant.
I'm definitely not going to say that.
Uranus for Uranus. Yeah. Uranus.
Uranus.
So I talk about the ascendant because it is ascending. It's what it's doing.
So you find rising sign like just vulgar. It's a common way of saying it. Yes. Okay. Well, then we'll say ascendant. For goodness sake.
Okay, tell us about the ascendant. Lots so any sign could be the ascendant.
Yes,
we
absolutely.
All have an ascendant.
We all do, and it depends on what time you were born. So you have to, this is why you have to know.
Yes.
Within 2 hours anyway, within an hour. I mean, any astrologer friend that has been asking you what time you were born, if at least you know within an hour, it's okay. We'll take it. Or we'll
take any time.
We'll guess.
Or
rectify, as we say, which means... guess educatedly and guess but confirm and things. But yes, that's why it's important because the obviously 12 signs and it takes about 2 hours because there's 24 hours of the day for each
sign to rise. And yeah, the rising sign.
Exactly. It is what sign was rising the day you were born. And yes.
The time you were born.
Yeah, the time.
So we've got and ascendant where, now. Yes. Every time you look at that.
Yeah, kids that are being born at this very second have whatever sign is. Yeah, exactly.
Thank God it's not us. And there's an ascendant happening all the time. And it changes during the day.
Yes, 12 times. Exactly.
12 times, yes. Mm. Okay.
So, yeah. And it doesn't matter what any of your other planets are, if you're, you know, whatever the rest of your chart is, it has nothing to do with your ascendant. The ascendant is just based on what time and where, because obviously time zones, etc. And that basically determines the layout of your chart. If you don't know the time, we can't place anything in-house, and we just have to, you know, set it for dawn or for noon, depending. And
so the ascendant's different to the sun.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If you set it for dawn, they're the same. That basically is okay. What that whole thing is and why that works. And that's also not coincidentally, actually. That's how they do, like, the weekly horoscopes that
yes,
you see.
Yes, sometimes.
So, yes. Yeah, just setting it for that, for the ascendant. So if you do happen to have the same sign on your rising sign, the sun and the rising are the same, then your horoscope that you read, the weekly or monthly horoscopes that you read, will be much more appropriate to you because they're okay. The same.
So would we say then most people have a different ascendant sign to a sun sign?
Statistically, I would think, yeah.
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 Such as in this room.
In this room, yes. Well, statistically in this room, I guess it would be about even, wouldn't it? Unless our producer's in the room, which he may or may not be. Yeah.
So you have a different sun sign too?
I do. I was born almost noon. I wanted to, you know, get born before the doctors went away on lunch break, I guess. So I was born at 11:43 in the morning, which is when Scorpio was rising. So I have Scorpio rising and I am a Virgo.
Okay.
And yes. And yourself?
Well, the same. Well, not the same. I have the same ascendant as my sun sign, which is Leo.
Yeah.
So I was born just before dawn and my sun's in the first house and Leo's rising and so is the sun.
Excellent.
So that's what you were saying is exactly the case.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is true. When I was a million years ago, when I was at school, my teacher read from Linda Goodwin's sun signs and she read Leo. And I'd never heard astrology before. And that just resonated with me so much because they're both the same.
Right, yeah.
It made more sense to me. So I explored it further.
Yeah.
But you can very easily have a different sun sign to ascendant sign. And this is important. One of the first things you're going to learn with astrology,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because some people might have, you know, a rising and a sun sign, they're very different.
Yes.
I mean, obviously Virgo and Scorpio are quite different, but they do have a lot of things in common.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't, you know, it doesn't bother me. Like some people, they really don't relate at all to what their sun sign is. And when they first hear about, you know, the characteristics that are supposedly their personality, they don't resonate at all. And maybe they have maybe it's a Pisces with Aries rising, for example.
Yes.
And that would be like, they're, you know, reading about Pisces and going, well, I'm nothing like that.
My mother was that.
There you go. Yeah.
She had Aries rising and then sun and moon in Pisces.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So, yes.
So how did she feel about her, did she?
Well, we all saw it.
Yeah.
We all saw that ascendant. She would always have a red jacket on. She would wear red clothes. She would serve hot moon food. It was sizzling on the plate when it came.
Yeah.
And, but she was Pisces.
Yeah.
But it came across.
Yeah.
Aries.
Definitely. That's funny.
I personally like to think that the ascendant is a stronger indication of someone's astrology than their sun sign.
I think that they can be. I mean, it really just depends on the person. I think a lot of different placements can, you know, can cause one to be more. I think they're equally important about learning about that person.
Okay.
When you get to know their characteristics, I think they're equally important. And in chart comparisons, they're equally important. Definitely, I think. Yeah. I mean, as far as all the aspects and, you know, everything like that, they can kind of fight for dominance. But I think also maybe they have different importance as, you know, as you go through different stages in life as well. I think when you're younger, maybe your ascendant can kind of be a stronger thing. And this is something that I've read as well, that your sun and moon kind of become more dominant over different periods of time. And I'm butchering the theory here. But
okay.
There's a theory that you grow into your sun sign a bit more and your rising sign sometimes is more dominant when you're younger. I don't know. I don't know if that's true necessarily, but it's interesting with the progressed chart as well. The ascendant changes like only a few times.
Yes.
Because, you know, it'll take however, like 30 or more years, because I still actually, my progressed rising is still, strangely enough, it's just barely changing and I'm 41. But I mean, that's, you know, you would think, because I have, my rising is 2 degrees Scorpio, you would think like, oh, well, 30 years, you know, year yes. today. But no, it's weird how the progress chart works. It's not always as linear as you'd expect. It kind of wavers around. So for some reason, I still have just barely like 29 degrees something Scorpio rising in my progress chart.
So that's changing this year then?
Well, yeah, I keep thinking.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it might.
You never know.
Yeah, so eventually I'll have Sagittarius rising. Gosh, what will that do?
Imagine.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, I mean, obviously that, you know, if it takes 40 years to change signs occasionally, that's not very many signs that it's going to go through, obviously, in the course of your lifetime.
No.
Each sign individually, like from one to the next in the progression of the zodiac, is definitely very different from the last. So
exactly, because my progress ascendant is now Libra, and I'm only just over 40 as well, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, moving
totally.
On that way. So if we do have an ascendant, because we've got a time, I do like to use it, because then you get the chart ruler from the ascendant,
exactly.
which is the planet that rules the ascendant.
And that's important.
And I find that very important.
Yeah.
I very often outbeat the sun. It depends if the sun is weak in Libra or Aquarius.
This is exactly, yeah, it gets complicated, totally.
So for instance, with your ascendant as Scorpio, you would have which planets as...
Well, I mean, that's obviously the gets the modern and
yeah.
You know, so I'm okay with Mars or Pluto, actually,
yeah,
to be honest.
Exactly. You see,
really
it's well with you. Whereas your sun is in a good old Virgo.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, obviously those, whether Mercury made any aspects to Mars or Pluto would, that would be a thing to look for.
So what does the ascendant tell us?
I have a bit of a paragraph that I've sort of jotted down.
You prepared earlier.
Well, you know, I like to be prepared. The ascendant or rising sign, but we'll just say ascendant, along with the sun and the moon, is one of the most important and influential components of the birth chart.
Yes.
It has been called the mask, the persona, the personality, and the first impression. It is what people see when they first meet you. It is. It often influences your mannerisms, the way you dress, your hairstyle, the car you drive, etc. And depending on how integrated it is with the rest of your chart, it can, you know, it can kind of carry you throughout your whole life. Or it can be a weird thing that you kind of, as with the Pisces and, you know, Aries rising, it can oftentimes sort of conflict with the rest of your chart. Maybe even the things that you want for yourself could be in conflict with your rising sign. You could portray yourself in one way without even really realizing it. And that could be in conflict with the, you know, the rest of your chart's desires for itself, so
that
to speak.
Very often is the case, actually.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's interesting, because we all know people that, you know, we may not know what sign they are or anything about their chart, but we all know people who think that they come across a certain way, but they come across a different way. Yeah, we can all think of examples of that. And I think that that might be reflected in the chart.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just maddening that we can't know.
Yes, that the ascendant does show, it's the first face you show.
Yeah.
And it's only when people get to know you, they actually get to realize what your sun was, or get to know that side. And then if they really, really get to know you, they might be one day to your moon.
Yeah, definitely.
So we often say that you see ascendants at cocktail parties because everyone's on their best behavior.
Right.
Looking good, just have the hair done, and they're presenting themselves in the best package they can, which is the ascendant.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Ooh.
So there are some interesting characteristics that I think go with each ascendant.
Okay.
And these are obviously broad generalizations, and some of them may be kind of, you know, cliched and old-fashioned, but they're fun anyway.
I mean, okay.
And their caricatures are good. You know, they're a good way to get to know an archetype.
Spot the ascendant rising.
Oh, my goodness. Well, actually, I mean, obviously it's the ascendant that's sometimes easier to guess than the sun sign.
Yes.
And I have this strange ability to actually pick Scorpio rising out of a crowd without even trying. It's sometimes I'll end
it's
up
like
talking
an affinity with your own chart.
It's
right?
It's a magnetic thing, and that makes sense because, you know, it makes perfect sense. I've actually found the one person in the room that I'll be completely drawn to and ended up talking to, and then later on we'll find out that person actually has their sun or rising, you know, ascendant right at 2 degrees Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bizarre tractor beam thing. Very bizarre. Our producer included, his sun is exactly conjunct my rising sign, my ascendant.
Yeah, so he's They're totally both. Connected to your chart.
So when we met, it was just
really.
Yeah, it was very strange. So yeah, we've got some celebrity examples, as always.
Let's hear it.
And these, we do link to them on our website, so you can go and see the actual website these are from. I want to give credit, obviously, to the Libra Rising website that they're just blatantly, completely, you know, linking to them. And yeah, definitely they've done some research and whatnot. And yeah, so we have, with Aries Rising, we've got Barbara Streisand, Bette Midler, Bill Cosby, and Errol Flynn.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And a few others. We're not going to, you know, go into the whole list for all of them, but I think that those, Barbara Streisand and Bette Midler, like that is some Aries Rising, like right obvious.
Those are sort of in your face women, aren't they?
Big time. Yeah. Yeah. With vocal and, you know.
Yes. And the, and small and diminutive, should I say.
Yeah. Yeah.
But powerful.
Yeah. Definitely. Okay. Yeah. The ramming sort of personalities. Yes. Definitely. Taurus Rising. Peter O'Toole. Aw. George Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, he just looks like a Taurus, doesn't he?
Yes, yes.
And Humphrey Bogart.
Right. It's
fantastic. And let's see, on the ladies' side, Mae West.
Right.
Queen Latifah. Yes, yes, totally. And Angela Davis. Awesome activist lady with giant hair. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a similar look. I mean, there's a... we have pictures. We'll have them on the website.
Yes.
So we don't belabor the whole point about the photos. But in some of these cases, like, for example, with the Gemini Risings, there is a specific eyebrow shape that it seems to... And it's funny because I happen to be very acquainted with... my mother has Gemini Rising, and she has these amazing arched, pointy little eyebrows, which are just a very, you know, characteristic thing. But these ladies that are on this page of Gemini Rising people, Anne Margaret, Drew Barrymore, Jean Tierney... they all have the same eyebrows. It's incredible. And I'm not saying that everyone with Gemini Rising will have this, but it's just, it's a really interesting.
But it's the look, isn't it?
It's this little pixie gammon sort of, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the men, Peter Fonda, mm-hmm. Neil Armstrong, Mick Jagger, Charlie Sheen. And I mean, they don't necessarily sound similar, but when you look at the pictures, you're like, oh, okay. It's a very boyish sort of, a boyish, charming kind of.
Peter Panny looking.
Yes, exactly that. Precisely that. So that's Gemini. Cancer Rising. And we've actually talked about the water ascendants in great detail in a previous episode. So please check that out if you're interested in the water ascendant specifically.
We'll link back to that too.
Absolutely, we'll link to that. But on the Cancer Risings, we've got Robert De Niro,
mm-hmm.
Jeff Goldblum, Nathan Lane, and Ben Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a definite, very similar sort of, I don't know how to describe that, but yeah, very similar sort of facial features there.
Yes.
And the ladies, Jane Russell, Julia Roberts, Liv Tyler, and Molly Ringwald. And I'm just thinking of beautiful, full, shapely lips and...
round faces, often.
Yeah, exactly. Leo Rising, got Muhammad Ali,
mm-hmm.
Sting, Rutger Hauer, and Prince Charles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking egos here.
Why?
I don't know. On the ladies' side, we've got Marilyn Monroe.
Yes.
And
she got Leo Rising.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Glenn Close. Betty White and Nancy Sinatra.
There we go.
And it's not my fault that they're all blonde. They actually, it seems to be, there's a lot of blondes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whether natural or on, obviously. Marilyn Monroe is Auburn, naturally. So that's Leo Rising. Virgo Rising, we've got Kathy Bates,
mm-hmm.
Marlena Dietrich, Agatha Christie, and Jane Austen.
People who wanted to be taken seriously.
Oh, yeah,
actually.
Yeah, definitely. And on the male side, we've got Hugh Hefner, Mike Myers, Peter Sellers, Gene Kelly, and Woody Allen.
Oh, okay.
And the men, there's a lot of glasses going on. A lot of square glasses, kind of studious looking.
Bookish.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. So that is Virgo Rising. Libra.
Libra Rising.
Yes. Actually, Libra Rising we did in our very last podcast. So we will link to that as well. But that was the one where everyone had the very even features and we had the pixie-ish women and...
the central part,
yeah, think. Cary Grant we have. And just very, very pleasing, just lovely sort of people. Scorpio Rising, we've got Marlon Brando, Leonard Nimoy, Betty Davis, Joan Crawford, Prince, Katharine Hepburn.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Sort of very arch and kind of sort of stormy looking.
Katharine Hepburn, yes.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Do you relate to those, do you think? Yeah.
Well, I've been told. I've been told I can look stormy.
Yes. You can.
I'm glad I have a rising sign that sort of takes charge and speaks for me when I'm really actually kind of introverted and nervous and don't like to talk to strangers and make phone calls to people I don't know and ask questions and feel like any potential for embarrassment. I hate that and cringe from that. So it's nice that I have a rising sign that sort of just takes charge and, you know, maybe puts across an impression that's not what I really am or what I would even want if I thought about it. But it sort of, it protects me in a way, which is nice. Mm. I'm glad I don't have a rising sign that just immediately looks like a pushover. Because that could happen. That would be rough.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then to scratch the surface of that and be Virgo underneath, Jesus, that would... So I can relate to that. I've been known to wear black and have pointy eyebrows. Okay. So Sagittarius rising. This is a funny one. Paul Hogan. Mm. Yeah. I mean, can you think of a more quintessentially Sagittarian? Really? He is a Libra, but he just looks so Sagittarian. Pierce Brosnan. Mm. Mm-hmm. Jimi Hendrix and Bruce Lee. Damn. Those are just, they're so Sagittarian.
Yes.
Archetypes. And on the ladies' side, Raquel Welch, Goldie Hawn, Ingrid Bergman, and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Okay.
And what I notice about these ladies, and this is funny because I'm going to quote When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
Yes. Ingrid Bergman, now that's low maintenance. And, you know, at the time, this is, you know, probably one of the first times that phrase ever appeared. And now it's just everyone says low maintenance, high maintenance. It's a thing. It's been a thing for like the last however long ago that movie was. But it's funny because you don't immediately think of a movie star from the 40s as being low maintenance at all. But these ladies, you know, even though they're gorgeous and glamorous and they're, you know, movie stars, they definitely all have a sort of a low maintenance quality about them. Mm-hmm. They just have an easygoing guys, gal kind of, you know,
kind of
quality. Yeah. So that's what I would say about Sagittarius rising. Mm. And it plays out too in people that I've known that have that rising sign. They're definitely, I wouldn't say they're all like sporty, for example, but that definitely there's an easygoingness and a kind of a boldness that isn't aggressive. It's just, it's a big personality.
They're very outdoorsy though as well, aren't they?
Yeah. They tend to be, I think. Yeah, going outdoors. Yeah. So Capricorn rising people, we've got Clark Gable, Dustin Hoffman, Paul Newman, and John Belushi.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yep, definitely. Like Clark Gable as, you know, he's like that father figure kind of, you know, the perfect father figure kind of guy.
Yes.
Yeah. And Paul Newman, of course. I mean, the cheekbones. Like, that is a you know, dead giveaway of...
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Very chiseled sort of man.
Chiseled, yes. Chiseled. Of course, carving is Capricorn.
Yeah,
anyway.
Stone, totally. Queen Elizabeth II, Sophia Loren, Susan Sarandon.
Feeling at times.
Yeah, formidable.
Formidable.
That's my word for them. Yeah, formidable. Definitely. Aquarius rising.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and we should actually say Capricorn obviously rules like the bones and things. And so Capricorn like has this cheekbone sort of thing happening, I think.
Oh, okay.
There's a very definite sort of bunch bone aspect happening with those faces. And Aquarius rising. So this is another very distinctive sort of look that I didn't expect to see, that when you look at a page full of faces, the women all seem to have this little ski jump nose. It's an interesting thing that it doesn't across all races, across all ages. So Alicia Silverstone, Diane Carroll, Audrey Hepburn, and Merle Oberon, amazing, very exotic actress from the 40s. And they all have this little pixie-ish sort of like ski jump nose. It's amazing. You just look at the page and you just see them all. And the men, a little bit different, but very interesting, sort of similar, weird quality. Jimmy Stewart, Jim Morrison, William Shatner, and Wayne Gretzky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they all have kind of a strange forehead sort of thing happening, which is neat, because it is a very cerebral sign.
I always think that Aquarius rising has got the weirdest hairdo that's going at the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whatever it is, they've got it.
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, with the ladies, definitely. I can see that right away, too. And the last one here, Pisces rising. Ringo Starr, Laura Dern, Jenna Elfman, Dr. Phil, and Phil Donahue.
Pisces rising often has facial hair.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. A lot of mustaches, and the women all seem to have just...
What? Mustaches too?
Mustaches, yeah. And the women all have these big round eyes.
Oh, they're like watery eyes,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's happening.
I always think that with the ascendants, you can often, if you don't know your time and you've got no choice, say between Sagittarius or Scorpio, you can tell by looking at someone what ascendant you think they might have. Because some of the signs that are rising have specific characteristics to them, such as the air signs are usually taller and the water signs are usually shorter.
Yeah.
And Scorpio is usually darker and Leo is usually more...
Bigger hair.
Yeah, it's like, does its own thing.
Or just a really sunny sort of, you know, personality.
And sometimes and Aries rising often has broken veins here on the cheeks because the ruddiness comes through.
Right.
Or wherever.
Yeah.
And things like that you can sometimes determine, was it Gemini or was it Taurus? And you can tell just by looking at their physique.
Right.
Also the way they move, their gait, because I know Pisces rising actually shuffles along. They don't step it out. They shuffle.
Yeah.
And of course Cancer kind of like walks a bit sideways if you watch them carefully.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I have some friends with Virgo rising and they are very controlling when and I have a friend with he's a Scorpio, but he's got Virgo rising, and say what you will, but I'm glad I have it the other way around. Let's just put it that way. But it's so funny. He's always trying to direct people. When you get to a crosswalk with him, he's always trying to grab your, you know, like you're going to run off into traffic. Always trying to, you know, direct where people sit when you go to a restaurant together. He's always, you know, it's funny. Always trying to organize other people.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's my sister's got Scorpio rising as well, actually, now that I think about it, and one of my daughters. But things like that, just mannerisms can show through in an ascendant that will confirm or deny whether it was one or the other ascendant. The Virgo often has gesticulations, or Gemini as well, and that kind of thing.
We're always having to do stuff with their hands.
Or fidgeting. Fidgeting or doing this.
Sure.
And,
Libra rising, that just talking to everyone, always, you know.
Schmoozing,
yeah.
And who have we missed out? Haven't we got them all now?
Yeah.
Cancer women usually have a big bosom as well.
Yep.
There's a word.
A bosom, yeah.
Because it's just the nature of the rulership of the sign, so.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to get into some book reviews in a bit, but one of the books that I'm going to be talking about is The Ascendant by Jodi Forrest.
Yes.
And she's got some really interesting exercises, which I find fascinating.
Oh, let's do them.
Yeah, I mean...
Do you like quizzes and things?
My God, yes.
Yes,
of course
I
do. I will just suddenly be compelled to do them sometimes, and even on Facebook, which I hate myself for it, but I find myself doing it anyway. And then, you know, unchecking all the different share buttons and, you know, being paranoid and backing out of it. These things happen.
That's week Scorpio rising,
yeah.
Okay, so let's hear it.
Yeah, so here's one. And this is actually strangely just, I picked it up at random, so halfway through I might, but they're all very interesting. So here's one. This is on the chapter about acting and the ascendant, because she talks a lot about different ascendant placements and how these can be reflected in an acting career and how you can tap into that stuff. So at the end of every chapter, she has a bit of an exercise. And in this one, it is... Find a copy of How to Read a Person Like a Book. And this book, she says, is a good discussion of body language shared by most, if not all, Americans. And so we say North Americans because that's what she means. So remember that there are vast cultural differences in body language, but facial expressions, and I'm just interjecting here, facial expressions tend to be universal, they've found, which is, thank goodness, you know? Can you imagine if it wasn't that way?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, there would have been a lot more wars, let's put it that way. So... Facial expressions, universal. Body language, not so much. But if you have friends in law enforcement, she says, particularly a detective or an interrogator, ask them how they can tell if someone's lying. This is an interesting thing about the ascendant. Obviously, body language is something that you don't control consciously unless you've been trained to. So you might be able to tell some things about someone just by watching them and seeing how they talk. And as we were saying, be able to tell if they have Scorpio rising or Sagittarius rising. It could be very, very obvious from their body language. Ask them different questions and see how they react. And if they say, why are you asking? Then maybe I have Scorpio rising. Might be a good way to tell. Okay, so let's see. If you have a friend who is a professional body worker or a yoga instructor, ask them what patterns of physical tension might correlate with different personality types. So that is an interesting thing, that that different people might carry stress differently. Different rising signs may have.
I think different ascendants go to the gym anyway. The other ones don't go to the gym, do they?
I did for a little while, but I never really liked it.
No.
Yeah. I always had to sort of feel like I was being forced to through some sort of army drill sergeant-y type thing. For a while, went to an aerobics class that was actually taught by a former Israeli army.
Yeah.
It was this weird way of being felt like I was bullied into exercising. That was a commitment, you know? Otherwise, I just can't be bothered because it just seems so And I don't really enjoy it. Some people just love to feel like they're exercising. Barf, no. And I don't feel that way about food either, though, really. I mean, I, you know, obviously eat and things, but I don't, I'm not a foodie. In fact, the word foodie just makes me vomit. But yeah, some people are very much. So there's another one. If someone describes themselves a foodie and you're trying to decide if they have Aries or Taurus rising, for example.
Go with Taurus.
Go with Taurus, exactly.
Exactly. And it's true. Or Cancer, if that's an option, yes.
Yeah, totally. And if they just can't get enough of their workout, maybe they've got Aries rising or Sagittarius. Mm-hmm. If you have to choose between a fire sign and a water sign, it's probably a fire sign.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. If you have friends who are actors or actresses, conduct an interview with them and find out how they prepare for a role based on their ascendant. And that plays in at all to that stuff. So these are interesting little exercises you can do if you're interested in these things.
Do you feel that you play a role? Do you actually feel that you put on your Scorpio persona at some point in your day?
No, definitely not. But I feel like it takes over it sometimes.
Oh, does it? Is it? It just won't go back in the box.
No, I don't mean like, oh my goodness. No, I mean like if I'm nervous or if I have to talk to somebody that I'm anxious about talking to, or if I'm in a situation where I'm out of my element, like I'm at some cocktail party and my partner or friend, whoever I've gone to the party with, has vanished and I'm by myself holding a cocktail and there's just no one else I know, then I think that definitely the Scorpio rising just kind of bubbles up to the surface and says, oh, don't worry, I'll take care of this, you know? And I don't think that I'm trying to project anything. I think if anything, I'm trying to maybe project a cloak of invisibility.
That is so Scorpio, isn't it?
Yeah, actually there is one thing I do have that I project purposely, and that is I grew up in Seattle and living downtown, and, not a terribly crime-ridden city, but when I was growing up, we did have the Green River Killer, who was at large when I was in school. And so there were, certain neighborhoods that kids now, wouldn't ever, go to the movies by themselves at the ages of 11 or 12 or 14, but we did then, and whatever. That was just how it was, and it was great. but obviously, times change. Anyways, at the time, we were not supposed to, obviously talk to strange guys who drive up alongside you and, stop the car. And of course it happened. Obviously, gross old guys would pull up and talk to you when you're, 12 and you're walking up whatever street. And so one of the things that obviously, you tell your kids don't talk to strangers and all this stuff. But I think one of the best things that I remember learning as a kid was how to project invisibility, to project this, don't talk to me, I'm not here, you don't see me. Thing. And that actually came in handy, not just growing up in Seattle, but when I moved to, when I went to college, I went to college in Baltimore. And it was in the 90s when it was at the height of its crime wave. It was one of the most dangerous cities in the U.S. at the time. And definitely being a little white art student college girl, whatever, it's want to have some protective armor or shielding in Star Trek.
And today as a grown up, no, not really.
No, there are times that I want to be invisible, definitely. Yeah, I still think that way sometimes. Yeah. I mean, obviously, Vancouver is a hell of a lot safer than
anywhere else I've ever been in my life,
Yeah, exactly. I do, once in a while, worry that I'm just becoming as soft as just a puddle. But cloak invisibility is a good...
So you kind of put out the vibe, don't talk to me and I don't want to know you. And don't
I'm not here.
You don't make
eye
contact.
See me. Yeah.
And you wear sunglasses at night. Scorpios often do that.
I wear gloves.
Do you? What, for germs or...?
Well, a little. But also, my hands get cold.
Okay.
6 to 9 months out of the year, I wear gloves.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So it's all layered on.
It's all shielding, yeah.
And so I take it you never go out without makeup or something like that.
Oh, God, no. Jesus. Wow. Yeah, at least lipstick. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
I know. When we first came to Canada, I couldn't believe that women actually would go out in their pajamas on a Sunday to go and get their donuts.
And now you know it's actually yoga, quote unquote, yoga wear.
Come on.
But might as well be pajamas.
Stepping out of the house like that.
It took me, I think I've done that one time or maybe twice since I've lived here. And it was a leap. At one point, it was hot. It was dead of summer. And fine. It doesn't get that hot here. But it feels hot because it's very humid. It was hot for here. And I don't have shorts. I'm not a shorts person. And it was early in the morning. And I do have some yoga, pants or whatever. They're below the knee. And I was like, oh, God, people wear this. And I had to talk myself into actually, because I was, I didn't want to wear jeans. And I was just torn about what to wear because it was just so boiling hot outside. And I finally put on the damn yoga pants and was okay, these are actual clothes. People think
the yoga pants. People think of these are clothes.
Oh yeah, yeah. But it for me it was weird. It was a very weird.
Because there's normally layers. What would you say?
Well, I would normally wear just pants.
Yeah.
Shirt. Yeah. So. Yeah. That's probably more Virgo though.
Well, we are talking about how you present as you step out of your comfort zone, which is your home.
Oh,
you can totally be yourself. And when you go outside, or you one does put on the persona of the ascendant at that point. Right?
Oh, well, that day, I mean, I was definitely full invisibility cloak up, when I was wearing the yoga pants. That's
interesting.
Wouldn't have wanted anyone I knew to actually spot me, for God's sake.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
And you, I'm going to make you tell the story again about your delightful car, which was just so Leo rising.
Oh, my Jeep TJ that was yellow.
I have no cars to talk about, so.
Well, I've owned a couple of cars in my day, and really, to be honest, for most of the part, a car gets me from A to B. I don't really care.
Yeah.
But this one I wanted because it was yellow, and it was so Leo. And that was the only, when we went to the dealership, it was the one like parked up on the thing up there, and the guy said, I've got to get that down, you know. And they got grey and grey and more grey, and I said, another grey car. Ugh. You won't see me dead in a grey car.
No.
It was gorgeous yellow. I don't know if I put a picture up of it.
No, and, you made it. You must send a picture.
I will. I'll put one up. And I just loved it. And it was so so Leo, really ascendant. And as I drove down the road, of course, everybody saw me. There was no such thing as, oh, I didn't see you. It was like, cut me off. It never happened.
Yeah.
Kids saw me coming and it made such a racket as it went along as well.
Yeah.
But it was great. And it was virtually a two-seater, you know.
Yeah.
Car that I'd had for me, whereas previous to that I'd always had to have these seven seaters with all the kids. We were toting around all the time. And I really enjoyed driving the yellow.
Definitely.
I did. I could always find it in a car park. There was no question about it.
Totally.
But and it's a sport. It was said sport on the side, which is apparently quite a Leo thing to have a sports car. And that's not the first one I've had. I've had a Toyota Sport as well.
Yeah.
At one time, and that one had red seat belts, which had just come in, and it's the details. First impression, you see. That's
totally.
So it's kind of, you know, a few things, yes.
Yeah.
I will definitely, if I get to choose colour, I won't go for grey or anything like that. I will put the Leo forward.
Yeah.
Yes. If I can.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, I have never, I've never had a car, but I do have some pictures of cars that I've saved in you know, in a folder on my computer, just, you know, if I were going to buy, like, for example, like a classic car, because I hate new cars. They're all ugly. They're all just hideously the same. They look
horrible. They all look the same. I can't tell this from
And they're all made of plastic, and they all have, like, GPS, like, report back to the mothership, all that crap. So I would only want...
in Africa, there was no public transport, so you had to have a car.
We do live in paradise here. It's, you know, they don't have to have a car, and there's no crime, and it's like...
exactly.
Temperate and, you know, whatever all the time.
You don't have to shovel snow.
Blah, blah. But yeah, so enough of us bragging. But yeah, so I have these, you know, these little fantasy car pictures, and I'm thinking back to, what's the last one I saved? And it was this beautiful, of course, like 1969 Corvette Stingray with like silver accents, but it was like this beautiful dark mulberry, kind of like almost blackish mulberry color, which is such a Scorpio thing. I can't even think about it. And of course, the Corvette, they've got this sort of, it's almost like a predator sort of looking.
Oh, yes, it's very Scorpionic.
Very.
It really is.
It's hilarious. So yeah, that just occurred to me. I can't say I have that car, but it's my... I have a picture of it.
Honestly, since we've moved to Vancouver and I don't have wheels and this, and I've realised that I probably will never own a car again because I certainly don't need one in the city.
Yeah.
And we are unlikely to live in the suburbs ever again either. So that's just about it, I think. And maybe I'll never drive again. I don't know. Hmm. It's like weird.
Yeah.
For that kind of turning point. Do you have a driver's license?
I don't even have a driver's license now.
Okay. Yeah, well.
I've driven a hand, like literally I can count on my hands probably the amount of times I've driven just as... practice or, you know, whatever, when I was trying to learn how to, when I thought I would get a license and never...
Well, I've driven since I was 17, so I mean, we're talking years and years and years, up until I came to Vancouver when I just don't go anywhere in a car.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. The only times that I think about needing a car, like, you know, you do the awful pilgrimage to IKEA, like, once a year or something, and you end up spending hours. It's just horrible. It's an awful experience, really.
But even then, you know, you can just rent a car like we
exactly
go to the island or something.
But we just put everything back on the SkyTrain.
The SkyTrain.
It was an awful experience, but I mean, you know, it's not any less awful than renting a car. You know. Yeah.
So there. Yeah.
So that's the cars.
So.
Oh, yeah. We do have a couple of books, though.
We do.
And one of them, The Ascendant by Jodi Forrest. It's very readable. It's very engaging. And it's got these neat exercises.
Do you recommend it? Is it a beginner's book?
I think that it can be. Okay. I mean, there's certain, you know, technical whatnot that you'd probably want to skim over or have to skim over if you were, you know,
I've heard
a beginner.
Her speech. I heard she spoke in Niagara Falls once. And she was talking about The Ascendant then. That was like a thing. So.
Yeah, totally. It's neat. There's a lot of things that you won't find in any other Ascendant books, I find. Just, you know, like the acting stuff and the little exercises and just a lot of different aspects of The Ascendant that are not cliched and not everywhere, which is
good.
Yeah. Good. But I will also say that I was drawing a lot upon this classic of Jean Avery's The Rising Sign, which is...
I don't know that book.
It is... Well, I'm not even sure of the publication date. It is a much older book. It actually came out in 1982.
The last century.
Aha! 1982. Yeah, so that is ages ago. But it's really, really well done. And it actually describes not just the rising sign and all the things we've talked about, but it actually describes then what ruler of... each house will be.
Okay, okay. So, the overlay.
Right. So, you know, I have Scorpio rising, therefore I've got Sagittarius on the second house. What does that mean? And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And
so you can develop it, the theme. That's good.
Yeah, she goes into great detail. And then what would your ruling planet be in various houses? And she goes into quite a bit of detail for each one of those, which is really fascinating. And I have read, you know, mine and my boyfriend's and my mother's and a few other people, and they all ring quite true. Even, you know, there's not a lot of old-fashioned-y sexist stuff that sometimes you find in books like that are printed back then, and you kind of go, oh my God. But no, there's actually not a lot of that. There's some celebrities you might not have heard of because, 80s. But yeah, for the most part, very, it has aged well, that book. And that is The Rising Sign by Jean Avery.
Very nice. So we'll put a picture recommend of that on the site as well. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. And you?
Yeah, so this time I haven't brought a book.
I know.
I brought the Wellbeing Astrology magazine. This comes from Australia, and I brought it because I actually have a published article in this.
It is gorgeous. I'm just, for our podcast listeners, it's a beautiful magazine. It is shining and glorious.
It really is. And it's a book that lasts for the whole of 2015. It's got full horoscopes in there. I have an article, What's Your Oriental Planet, which is one of my little hobby horses. Mm-hmm. And I'll put the link up on... when we get there, I'll put the link up on the site back to the page where I did a review of it, and that will link back to make the purchase. Highly recommended. If you're a beginner astrology, this is what you need to be reading. Mm-hmm. And also, if you're like any type of student astrology, it's very well written. It's a gorgeous book, isn't it?
It's just the glossiest, most beautifully produced.
Coffee table amazing. Recommended for our favorite fan.
Yeah.
Or anybody like that. And you can order it and have it delivered straight to your home. So that's a great magazine as well.
Excellent.
And then the actual second one I'm bringing, just I'm talking about Blow Your Own Trumpet, Mountain Astrology. I don't know if we've ever reviewed this in the past. I was thinking about it.
It almost goes without saying, doesn't it? I mean, it's almost like an unspoken, obviously we recommend the Mountain Astrologer. What else is there? It's,
Well, maybe people don't know about it, but
it is the magazine.
There it is. And they've done a review on the astrology schools available globally. And my school, Starsology, is in there. There's a short review there for you, so you can see exactly what they think of my teaching.
Absolutely.
Which I was very pleased to see. And it just reinforces to my students that they're getting a good education if they come through our school.
Absolutely. I noticed that. I saw you in there, and I thought, wow. That's great.
Yes, I know. That's what I thought. And I thought, well, that's great. It's finally, I do try to... That's a long story, but I do try to get my students the best grounding they possibly can in astrology so they can move forward on their own.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
So even though I don't like to do cookie cutter type thing, I want everybody to be there at their potential, and that's the important thing.
Absolutely.
So those are the two magazines I've brought through, and I can just put the links up there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there we go.
There we go. That is our Ascendant podcast.
Yes, indeed. And we have an email address, don't we?
Yes, we have. It is axisastrology@gmail.com.
Right.
You can obviously find us at axisastrology.com website.
Yes.
And you can follow us on Twitter at axisastrology.
Yes.
You can find us on iTunes just search astrology and you will find us.
This is huge. This iTunes thing has taken off. We're very pleased with our ranking in the astrology community
subscribe,
on the iTunes store.
Subscribe, give us a review.
Subscribe,
say nice
download
things.
Our podcast. We really need your support.
Yep.
And we're very pleased the way things are going. And we've had excellent feedback so far.
Absolutely.
Haven't we?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah. iTunes. Well, that is all for today. Access Astrology is produced and recorded by Roger Aaron Tells. I'm Arwen O'Neill.
And I'm Alison Price.
Thank you for joining us.
We'll see you next time. Yeah.